local listener of Unknown Cool People podcast. I'm your host, Kat. Some of you might know that I'm currently on a maternity leave with my beautiful 2.5-year-old toddler. But before I became a mom, I was working in a quite unique team at IBM, Employee Experience Team. Today, I'm talking to Lucia Hasova, a leader with a capital L, who has created our former team from scratch and brought it to success. So I'm super happy Lucia agreed to join me on my podcast, and I must say talking to her brought me back to those fun and exciting times when we worked, created, and laughed a lot together. We talked about how sports has influenced Lucia as a leader, how she develops the talent of her employees, and why should we focus on our strengths rather than weaknesses, and why playfulness and fun is such an important aspect of her working life. Enjoy, cool listener. 3, 2, 1,
I would like to start with you telling me something that I don't know about you.
Peacocks. Oh.
So for the listeners who are joining us, Lucia is my previous manager, and we've been working together for 2 years in IBM. So I know pretty many things about her. So this question must be a bit tricky, but let's see what she will disclose.
I'm not sure what you really know or don't know, but one thing that influenced me a lot as a leader is that I used to be a professional handball player. So sport is something that influenced my leadership style and also myself being as a person. So that came to my mind as the first thing to mention.
Mm-hmm. This is something very important and interesting that you've said, how sport has influenced your leadership skills. How would you describe your own leadership skills?
My leadership style is, I would say, combination of visionary. So I'm driven by the future, what we can achieve, what we can become as an organization, as a team. And then combined with caring, I would say. So I pretty much care about the people, about the environment I'm working in. So combination of this human element with the vision, that's what comes to my mind as first when I think about myself.
And I have to say that you were the first leader for me when I worked with you that on the meetings would ask, not just how are you, but are you happy? And for me, the first time I've heard this question, I was like, oh, wait, should I be happy or unhappy? This made me think like, okay, nobody ever asked me this question. And it was so different already from the way how you communicate with us, with our team, how you put our team together. We worked in an employee experience team at IBM together, and the skills that you were seeking for to put together to cover all the areas that you had to cover, for me, it was also a very new experience from employee perspective, how I see a leader perspective. And I didn't have a bad leaders or you know, someone terrible in IBM. No, I didn't have. Just it was also a very different experience. And I think it was a little bit shocking also to see that my leader is challenging her own leader. And it was so cool because you also with this style encouraged, I will talk for myself, but I believe that my colleagues with whom we worked will agree, encouraged us to be brave and also to kind of question or challenge other people. So that was very cool. And when we talk about this visionary leadership style, what would you say is the disadvantage of visionary leadership?
If you cannot communicate properly your vision, and of course, inspire people around you to be on the same page with you and to achieve the vision. So in case you are a single element who is having some vision and you cannot work well with others, I think that can be already a blocker. And for me, the most difficult part sometimes is I feel that sometimes I'm bit head in the cloud, and I see many times how the future should look like in many elements, and you have probably some experience with me that I see it, but you need to be able to translate it to the team, to the people you are working with. And if you are not clear enough, you can lose them easily. So sometimes I'm facing the challenges with this gap that for me things are clear, I see it, visionary, you know, I see already future, I'm already there. but you have different personalities around yourself, and you need to have different personalities around yourself, different people who have different preferences, different way how they are making decisions, how they are processing the information. And you need to work as a leader very carefully with that, not to lose them, but to really work on the synergies and in the end to achieve great results together.
You also have to have very good self-awareness in order to understand that, okay, my vision might be too broad or too head in the clouds for others to understand it. So what do you do to bring this message to employee in a way that they stay tuned with you? You don't lose them from your vision.
I try to involve them into co-creation. So I have some initial idea, but when I even have a chance to build teams, I surround myself with great people who I believe are great and can help me to co-create. Because sometimes I don't see everything. Sometimes I don't see the blockers on the way that might come up. So for me, it's involving people into co-creation. It's never like, okay, I have this great vision, let's achieve this. Of course, I have something in mind. In the end, the reality might be slightly different. But if you give chance people to co-create and people see the meaning, people see that they contributed, I think that's the best way how to achieve great results.
What was one of your most, let's say, proud projects that you had a vision and you created that kind of environment around you that you achieved it in the way that you say, even, exceeded your expectations or exceeded your own vision?
I have many things I'm working on, but as I'm having you in the podcast, employee experience team and what we achieved and how we build up the team as such, how we try to approach employee experience in the corporate environment, I think that's a great success. And I faced these issues that I had a vision already a few years in my head. So sometimes organization is not even mature and ready enough, or your leaders are not even ready to hear your vision. So you need to be careful in terms of either timing, but then not to wait too long, to be brave enough to bring it up in the right moment and be this concept. I experienced also failure because I tried to brought it up a few years earlier even. And that time, the environment wasn't ready. People around me were not ready. Leaders I presented my visions to were not ready to accept it. So I wait some time and I try to find another way how to bring this idea to life again. And I found it with another leader, a little bit different environment. So it was not targeted so broadly, but rather finding an organization where you can pilot this approach. So yeah, this is how I operate and work. So if you have a vision, you need to have right timing, of course, because sometimes, and I think also big visionaries in the world had and experienced this, sometimes you have a great discovery or some invention you would make. But if you are 20 years ahead of the reality, sometimes it just fails. Mm-hmm. So the timing is very good, but then also not being afraid. Always having, okay, we are not ready, we cannot do it. We are in a corporate environment and this bias that you need to follow the structure, the ladder and so on. And this would never go through in the corporate environment. So sometimes you just need to try. Of course, you need to be smart enough to have the idea built, not just randomly without details, because then you may face the, okay, you tell me more and you need to be ready. So this is it.
And do you have someone who has inspired you, or maybe you have followed someone's skill set that you admire, that you say, okay, I want to be as this leader? Or it doesn't have to be even a leader, but someone who inspires you.
I don't have one person. Of course, you could see these big visionaries, like even Bill Gates and so on. But I try to look on the picture from the complex perspective and to get inspired by some piece what they are doing, constant learning, coming up with the crazy. Even Elon Musk he's crazy a little bit, but he has a brilliant mind, so I don't want to be like Elon Musk, but I see some great elements I could use or that can inspire me. But then I have different leaders, even not so known, that I look up to and are inspiring me in this people element, how they lead people. So I would say I try to combine and see, walk with the open eyes and to take bits and pieces, and not just from leaders, but generally from the people I'm working with, because mm-hmm. You can find so much inspiration if you just look on people around yourself.
Yes, that's true. That's true. And I really like what you said about taking bits and pieces from everyone, because there is no one ideal for everyone that we can look at. But you've mentioned sports before, and it's a really interesting topic for me, because I think sport brings us discipline, and sport disciplines us in many areas of our life. And we can learn a lot in parallels of diverse scenarios of life that we can do. How did it influence you exactly? You connected sports with the leadership. So how did it influence you as a leader?
I didn't see that time, of course, but now yes. when I look back, and I'm not an athletic type of person, so for me, when I look back, I was like, wow, how could I be successful at sport? I was representing Slovak Republic, so I can say that I was successful from the team when I was in. I was one of the two people that were in the Slovak team, but I never felt that I was the best. But I was able to work on my talent, so even that time, I was not the fastest, I was not the most agile in terms of physical parameters, but what I had was really the strategic seeing maybe 2 seconds ahead of the rest, so I could influence what we did as a team in this way, and that made a difference. So for me, really understanding that if you work with the talents and you understand your talents, and this is helping me also as a leader, that everybody has some talents. So if you help people to discover these talents and really try to develop them, these talents, they can achieve something great. So that was one learning. And then I think there I received this basic of the servant leadership, because you have different positions in a team. And I was in a position where you are not the one who scores the most goals, but you need to be there for a team, create opportunities for the others. So this was my main role. So for 10 years or 11 years or so, I was in this kind of position where I was working for a team. So the teamwork and servant leadership, you know, this basic of the servant leadership, I think I got it there.
It's interesting because you just described someone who is like an invisible force, right? You are not the one who is shining, maybe the scoring the most scores and being the fastest, but with the strategic thinking, with the strategic vision, you kind of make the success of the team. And this is something that we not often see. It's not the first thing we see in sports or in leadership, but this is the biggest impact that stays for the successful results of the team, in my opinion. And you mentioned one very important thing is a talent. And now I've been reading so many different things about a talent. Yes, we can be born with a talent. No, you don't have a talent. You just can, you know, develop it in yourself. And if you think you are talented and don't do anything about it, then you don't succeed anyway. So let's talk a little bit really about a talent that you've said you think everybody has one talent that we can develop. So how do you help your team members to dig into the talent if they don't know? What are their strengths? What are they good at? How do you help them to dig into it and develop this talent?
Talent is something you naturally see that helps you to be in flow, where you feel good at work, where you feel you are achieving the most. And I think each of us has, call it talents or strengths. So it comes all to, from my perspective, and very important for the leaders, but also for the individuals, is the self-awareness, to understand yourself. What makes me happy, where I feel that when I'm working, I don't even feel I'm working, but I'm really enjoying it. And probably I'm even more successful than the rest of the people. I see that the issue maybe with a lot of cultures and also individuals, that we are so much focusing on what we are not good at, what are our weaknesses. And I used to be the same, okay, Lucia, let's look on yourself, what are your weaknesses, where you should focus your development, and then you invest 50, 60, 70% of your development on improving your weaknesses. But if we look on where people are strong enough, and you invest energy and expose them to the projects, they can really use these strengths or talents, these people can overachieve you significantly, the rest of the people who are not having this specific talent. And if you combine these talents in a team and strengths in a team, that is where you can achieve miracles even. I mean, maybe too strong word, but for me, it's really starting with talking to people and changing their perspective a little bit on that. And many times you see people not on the right positions, that you see person on a role where he or she is great in the client-facing communication, but you see the person is working more on administration details, and naturally this person is failing, getting frustrated. And if not work well with the self-awareness and not having the right leader, this person can easily even think that I'm for nothing, I'm not good enough. If you switch a little bit the environment to this person and role, you can have a totally different performance, totally different person, I mean, in terms of satisfaction, even confidence. So, and I have seen it several times during my career when I took the person who was almost, you know, the low performer. Some leaders would be, okay, send this person out of the company because this is terrible. And even putting the rest of the team down, I switch, change the person, change the role. I believed in that positive part that I have seen. And the person became great in the new role, leading the team. So this is for me, inspiring in the people leadership. So this people element, and you cannot imagine, or there are not many companies without people. So this people element is so strong. And if you can work well enough with it, and help people to grow, to maybe let them achieve or understand what are the strengths of the individual, even they could not see or could not believe something they could achieve, that's, I would say, the true leadership. So helping people to be the better version of themselves or the best possible version of themselves.
Yeah, I think this is so powerful and oftentimes unseen. And I, now as a parent, I also see this as a biggest task for myself, not to always focus on what you cannot do, but focus on the things that my child can do. Because I was raised in Latvia, we all were in post-Soviet Union times, that we focus at school, everything is focused on where you are not good enough at. That's why we are grown probably as adults like that. We focus, okay, give me a feedback, tell me where can I improve. And you don't focus on the things you are good at. And that's wonderful if a team can have a leader like that, focusing on your strength, and then people can be happy, but truly happy in their works and what they do.
And exactly, good parallel with the parenting. I think there where it should all start. Because when you have people already at work, adults, that's not good when you just need to start with that. So people are really focusing on just the negatives. So yeah, those of you who are parents, I would encourage you to look on where your kids can shine, and encourage them to shine more and to work into that area. I don't want to say that ignore your weaknesses or ignore the areas that are not your talents. You need to fix them to the certain level where you are good enough and where they're not putting you down. Of course, if I would be a visionary leader and I would say, okay, my visions are great, but I cannot communicate or I cannot develop people or anything that is really putting me down, that wouldn't be very smart. Just ignore it and focus just, okay, this is my talent, this is where I will only focus. So you need to balance it properly. But look on where you are investing your time into. And many of us would find, and I was the same.
So what did need to happen so that you start to see your strength and your talents instead of seeing areas for improvement constantly?
I had this realization where I compared myself in two different roles and two different environments. Both of them were agile leadership kind style of, but the projects and the tasks I have been exposed to, where I had freedom, when I could brought my ideas to the table and so on. So where I implemented this element of the, okay, let's be strategic, let the right to influence something, let's bring value through. Also this element, not just, okay, now you are a project manager, you need to execute A, B, C, D, and that's great skills you need to have in the organization. Those are the people I need around myself. But when I was really leading huge projects and being responsible just for the execution of it, I could achieve great results, and I never felt so good. So when I combined myself in these two roles, I had this, and of course I studied different theories, and so I'm working with the Gallup strengths. So I also try to analyze myself a little bit and recommend it also to people. So for me, this was when I realized that this really makes a difference.
What were you studying, actually? It doesn't like make big difference, but I'm just curious.
I studied management, but final 2 years, I was specialized in HR. So I ended up with HR in HR. So I work in the field that I studied. But I was not such a great student on the university, so I was already focused on leading the NGO and so on, so that not something I should maybe share. But for me, it was already that time I'd rather experience something. Of course, theory is important, but the quality of the education, not so great in Slovakia as we would like to see it. But yeah, to answer your question, management and HR is the field of study I had.
Yeah, and so it brought you also to your work, and then you were growing in the currently in the company. But what do you do? What's your favorite thing to do when you don't work? I know you work a lot, but when you don't work, what do you do?
I like to travel. Then I try to invest some time into sport, of course, to balance this mental and physical work. And then I love to spend time with my nieces. I have one two-year-old. And these small kids are a great sort of source of inspiration for me. How you see this openness, transparency, you get the immediate feedback. So this is what we, or that is being killed in the children as we raise them, or as they are getting older. This childish element of the playfulness, it's great. It inspires me a lot. And I think we can learn a lot from kids.
What is the latest lesson your niece has taught you, the toddler one?
Curiosity. I would say the kids are not afraid to try, to go. And, this constant feedback that you immediately communicating openly about what you like, what you doesn't like. Feedback is super important. Of course, with kids, it's sometimes extreme. But curiosity, playfulness, and not hiding, the just being themselves, authentic. Authenticity. Kids are natural authentic.
They are amazing. I'm just experiencing now almost 2.5 years, and this is the most interesting period so far. It was all interesting, but now when she can say everything she wants, and sometimes she says such a things that I'm like, wow, okay, where does this come from? How did you get to this point? Is really cool to see. And the question is how to keep this childfulness and curiosity as long as possible, because I don't know if we can really not kill it in a way, but how to keep it as long as possible. This is my biggest task to understand.
Then if you will get the answer how to do it, let me know. But I like this playful element, so I need to and I want to play at work. I want to have fun, so I try to bring it to my teams. It's something that you have more or less natural in yourself, but not to be so serious about what you are doing. Of course, you can lead difficult projects. You can make super difficult decisions. But if you are not having fun and you cannot be at least a little bit this child who can play, who can have fun by what we are trying to do, it's sad in the end.
Yeah, because fun is not an enemy of work. And very often I have seen that some people think that fun, if you have fun at work, then you are not working. You are not serious enough for work. But it's just, again, some kind of perception of what was brought into us as adults from childhood, that you cannot do this. I remember my grandmother, but she was like a very hard worker. And when we were laughing with no reason, she would say, why are you laughing for no reason? Why do you laugh for no reason? And that kind of stayed in my mind until the adulthood's like, I should not laugh with no reason. And I had to learn it. Like when I was adult, they didn't do it in purpose to damage, just didn't know the better way. Maybe they were raised like this, but this is so interesting how upbringing is influencing us so much as adult people.
And sometimes having fun also irritates other people. In case you have not healthy cultures and you have people who are overloaded, of course, not always by their mistake. You can see it. You have seen it also when we started with employee experience team. I built a team with really open-minded, nice personalities, outgoing. And we had a lot of fun that time. And we were receiving also feedback that, what is this?
why are people laughing in the office? Yes, I remember, which made us laugh even more. But it was a good signal of how the culture is, and of course we have to respect. But there was like a long way to go to this playfulness in certain areas. But yeah, I agree. If we go and only be serious and very focused and don't see anything else at work, for me, different personalities maybe have different perceptions on this. But for me, that would be a killer, and I would not like to stay in that kind of environment. So for me, also playfulness and fun is a important element.
And of course, we don't need to be loud. But this element of enjoying what you do, that's important.
Yeah, and then people go and say, ah, of course, she has so cool job. Who wouldn't be happy if would have this kind of job and so on. Yeah, but back to you and our conversation. I would like to ask you a final question. I ask to every guest on my podcast is, what is your definition of a cool person?
For me, cool person is anybody who is living authentically. So just being yourself, being your real self, that's cool. And each of us can be cool. For me, everybody's cool in some way. But who is brave enough to live the life that is not based on the opinions of the others, but being true self. And it's a super difficult thing sometimes because you need to go through this self-awareness journey. But if you reach that point that you are just real you, I think that's a cool person for me.
Yeah, cool. I think you're very cool. Thank you for joining my cool podcast.
Thank you for having me.
And actually, one more thing I wanted to ask you. I think and I hope that few or many of our colleagues will listen to this episode, to this podcast. And what would you tell them in terms of this joyfulness and environment at work? Just a wish, just the first thing that comes to your mind to have this playfulness and enjoyment at work.
No, just start to have it in mind, I would say. And don't just silently follow, but bring yourself to work. And ask, challenge the leaders. But I would ask myself the first question, what can make me happy or what will make me happy? So this is what I would recommend them. To start to think about that.
Start with themselves. That's awesome. Yeah, everything starts with ourselves. So, guys, you've heard that. Even if you are not working in Lucia's team or our company, you just can ask yourself always. Thank you. Thank you so much.
So what makes you happy? Or what did you really like to do when you were a kid? Like this episode? Subscribe for more and share with your friends. Join me on Instagram for more backstage stories, and I see you next episode.